Yeah, let's just jump into two verses that come to mind. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. And then Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. And, you know, on the cusp of this, it sounds like it's basic common sense that good advice would lead to better decisions, right? But Scripture over and over talks about wise counsel. It gives us examples of people that did that well and people that didn't do it well. And we really see it as a sign of spiritual maturity that those who are growing in Christ and looking to grow in Christ will seek, well, they'll ask for advice, and then more importantly, they actually listen to that advice in all areas of their life. So it's not just financial, it's not just these technical areas, but it's in all areas of life because they're just wanting to grow and be more obedient to Christ, and they're willing to actually take feedback from other people on how to do it better.
Well, Brad, spell out to whom we should turn then for that wise counsel, because we've got to be careful with what we're doing.
Yeah, we always start directly with the source, with God, in prayer. James 1:5, probably a familiar verse to most people. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. So God promises to, if we ask, he'll give us the wisdom we need. And secondly, just another avenue to God is through Scripture. So we look at Scripture, and that's the wisdom of God that's been revealed to us already. So we need to know God's Word and take the advice from there. And then beyond that, the next place I would go is to godly people. So people that know God, people that know Scripture already, people that are spending time in prayer. And for young children, the example of that would be going to your parents. That's a good place to start for godly wisdom. And then for the rest of us, we're always going to have people around us that just seem to be gifted with wisdom. So again, they're people that know God, but Proverbs 13:20 says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. So we want to make sure that we're surrounding ourselves with people that God has gifted with wisdom. So again, we probably all know people in certain areas of life that just seem to, they get it. They understand it, and they can make sense of something that may even seem complicated. So we want to surround ourselves with those type of people. And then we also want to look for people that have experience, because wisdom comes with experience. So this is going to be, number one, it comes with age, but then it also comes with that specific experience. And there's a great example out of 1 Kings 12. We're going to actually see both sides of them, where Solomon's son, Rehoboam, actually consulted with the elders, those who had served Solomon, his father, and they gave him wise advice, but ultimately he chose not to listen to that wise advice, and we'll see that here in just a little bit as well.
Well, Brad, you know, who among us has not gotten some bad advice? Right? So what type of counsel should we be avoiding?
Well, we need to avoid the counsel of the wicked, so specifically those who are opposed to God. And that's directly addressed in Psalm 1:1 that says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. So we want to make sure that we're surrounding ourselves with wise people that know God, avoiding those who don't know God or even are opposed to God. And then number two is the inexperience. So we go back to that story of Rehoboam in 1 Kings 12, and we see that he ignored the experienced wise counsel that served his father, and what did he do? He went to the younger guys around him that he grew up with, and he sought their advice. And they actually gave him foolish advice, but he liked it, and he followed it to his own harm and to the harm of his country.
Well then, Brad, how do we know when it's time to seek maybe professional counsel? We've gone to our friends, you know, that we trust. We know which ones not to go to. So then how do we know that it's time to seek someone who is a professional in the field in which we're looking for help?
Yeah, and this goes again to all areas of life. There's going to be times when we need specialized knowledge. And this goes well with that idea of seeking out experience. Well, there are some things that are so technical. So let's consider taxes for an example. I'm not going to go to just any friend and ask them for tax advice. I'm going to go to people that have actually had greater experience in that, probably people that are professionals in that area, because that level of knowledge that I may need from a tax perspective may require somebody that's in it every day, and they're spending a lot of time in it, and their knowledge base is going to be much greater than the average person. So whether it's legal, medical, tax, other areas of finances, there are going to be those specific areas where somebody needs to have spent a lot of time in it to actually be able to give us good advice in it. But the one thing I will throw in with that is we shouldn't ignore the godly counsel that goes with it, the spiritual counsel that we may need to apply with the tax advice, let's say. If I get tax advice, is there a spiritual component or a spiritual application to the advice that I got? I need to make sure that if my professional is not able to also speak spiritually and morally maybe to that issue, that I need to go find somebody that is that godly counsel and can understand the advice that I was given professionally and tell me how that applies to my spiritual life. So both areas still need to be addressed. I shouldn't ignore the spiritual advice just because I'm getting professional advice. There really still needs to be both aspects of it. The wise counsel, even if it's technical, and the spiritual.
Well, Brad, you know, you have a lot of people who come to you for that financial advice, and you are that wise counsel. So what pitfalls have you seen people maybe they've experienced that could have been avoided if they would have just taken godly counsel?
Yeah, and probably the most common thing I see here is financial decisions that have been made based on emotions. And those emotions, we've talked about them before. The most common ones are greed and fear when it comes to money. And money is such a private matter, it's hard for people to actually open up and seek wise counsel in the area of their finances. And that leaves them more vulnerable then to follow their emotions. Because when we seek wise counsel, and again, this goes to all areas of life, we're emotional about our situation. But we seek wise counsel. That wise counsel we're seeking should not be in that same emotional state or as emotionally bought into our situation as we are. And then they can give us objective advice that emotions basically cloud our vision and cloud our ability to be able to make wise decisions. And by surrounding ourselves with people that aren't emotional in the situation, they can speak clearly to us and give us some wise counsel that we may miss otherwise. So there's all kinds of examples of and studies that have been done that show the damage of people making emotional financial decisions. And in the investment world, I've seen situations where an actual investment may have performed well, and the people that invested in it performed quite poorly because they were jumping in and out at the wrong times based on those ideas of fear and greed. And they're jumping in at the wrong time to try to make a profit, and then things don't go as planned, so they jump out maybe at the worst time, and ultimately they suffer the consequences of those emotions.
Well, Brad, what is the lesson for us then in being wise counsel for others?
Well, and that's a great point of reflection. It's not only good for us to seek wise counsel, but we need to look at ourselves and see how can we be wise counsel to others. And to do that, we basically need all the qualifications we've talked about in wise counsel. We need to know God, we need to know Scripture, and then we need to be excelling in our area of interest, our area of profession maybe, and then be willing to share that experience. Too many of us go at it from the consumer route in that we want everything to benefit us, but we forget that aspect of turning around and being willing to share it back with others. And that's the beauty of the church. Inside the church, we need to be developing ourselves, be as Christ-like as we can be, but then be quick to share that back with others and make ourselves available to them.
Well, Brad, where can others get some insight and information about this from your website?
On my website, investinginTruth.com. I actually have a lesson. It's in lesson 11 of my financial boot camp, and it's titled, What to Look For in a Financial Advisor. And I address this idea of wise counsel specifically in the financial area, but the biblical wisdom in there on how to find wise counsel is going to be the same across the board, whether we're looking for it legally, in technical applications, or whatever it may be.
Well, that is so important, especially around these times of years when we get toward the end of the year for year-end giving and things like that. We're figuring out tax strategies. There's always got to be wise counsel. And like you said, you've got to go to the professionals for that kind of stuff, because if it's too technical, we can really mess it up. And there's some repercussions down the road that we just well may not want.
That's exactly right. And in our spiritual lives, we want those people that are experienced as well to be able to speak into that area.